This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for NFL overreaction or reality. Gentlemen, I'm not supposed to ask if we're ready. That's what Mike taught me, so I won't. Overreaction or reality, the Arizona Cardinals will have a better record than the Bears this season. So sometimes I like to throw out these questions, and I think we talk about the Bears as if they were better than they actually were last year and the Cardinals like they were worse than they actually were last year.
Makes sense.
And so this is my overreaction reality. The Cardinals will finish with a record equal or better than the Bears. I added equal.
Dang.
They were three games better than the Bears last year. Although I know, obviously, the Bears have really revamped things.
Yeah, and that's what's kind of throwing me off here, because how much am I really putting into Ben Johnson's basket? Sure. And were the Cardinals, was that they were 6-3 at home and 2-6 on the road.
Oof.
So they were a good home team last year.
But that means they'll have more road games this year.
They scored some points. They weren't a good offense, but they weren't a bad offense. They were what I expect out of the Cardinals, honestly.
They were what the Cardinals are. They're there.
I rephrase the question.
The Arizona Cardinals will have a record better or equal to the Bears this season.
Reality.
Oh.
Because I think it'll be equal.
Oh, I like it.
I expect the Bears to jump up, but that's a tough division.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a very tough division, so I can't put 15 wins in the Bears basket. I have to put 9.
Okay. Know?
That's fair. And I'm going to go with reality because there is at least some consistency there. Like Kevin said, Cardinals are the Cardinals. They are what they are. They exist. I feel like I have a generally good idea of what's going to happen with them every year with Kyler Murray at quarterback, with Jonathan Gannon at head coach, Monty Austin Ford, the GM, which, I mean, I was what was I doing last week? I did a hit on Kansas City radio and they were talking about the Cardinals, and it seems like a lot of people really respect that front office and that coaching staff more than the general public does.
Yeah.
So, and I kind of agree. I thought Gannon was awful his first year, but he's only gotten better since. So I think they're going to be decent and decent enough to contend with them. Yeah, I'll go with it.
Now, the wording on this question is very important. NFL overreaction or reality? If Tyler Guyton struggles again this season, Cowboys fans are going to label him as a bust.
Yes. Reality. I will. And that's unfortunate because I expected him to be good last year, but I also knew how raw he was.
Yeah.
You had an offseason to get it in gear and get away from some very bad habits.
Sure.
As high of a pick as you were, Cowboys have been... I don't think they were as openly adamant about it as they were under the rug adamant about it.
Okay.
Or undercover adamant. That. But they told us many times without punching us about it, we feel like it's going to take time for him. But we thought at the position where we were in the draft, he would be the right pick for the future of this offensive line. So the expectation is that he makes a jump in year two. And I'm expecting that right now too. I need it from him. So I absolutely will be going, all right, man, we're putting that bus label on you right now if he isn't better this year.
It's a reality, and I think some people already have unfairly put that label on him.
That is tough.
At least on, you know, and social media is not a real place, but people voice their opinions there, and there's been a lot of shocking opinions about him that I'm not ready to make. I still think he's really talented, and I quote this every single time his development gets brought up. Last year, one of the final 2 weeks of the season, I talked to Jerry Jones on these airwaves, and he said, I got out in front of my skates on Tyler Guyton.
Yes.
He openly said that unprovoked because we all know that's how the Cowboys run this team.
Right.
They put high, really high leveraged expectations on their first, second, and third round picks to be immediate contributors because they draft so well, and they usually are immediate contributors. So the minute that one isn't, everybody panics. Because that's the norm around here. And that's totally fine. That's just a great job by Will McClay and Stephen Jones.
And I'm
good
I'm,
on them.
I'm pretty sure at the end of that conversation, he goes, you guys don't want me to make any headlines for you? And you were like, no, we're good, Jerry. Thanks.
Yeah, and I was like, I got the one I wanted. I got you to unprovoked say that you were wrong about Tyler Guyton being a day one starter.
There you
so
go.
You already gave me my clickbait, so thank you. But yeah, I didn't want to make him mad. But, you know, I still go.
What's he going to do, fire you?
Well. Try. I'm just not ready to put that on him even after year two. I think reality people will. I won't.
NFL overreaction or reality. Anthony Richardson missing minicamp is a big problem for a couple of different reasons.
Yes.
Okay.
Reality.
Okay. What do you think the reasons are?
Daniel Jones could take his job.
Yep.
Daniel Jones is poor at football. Maybe basketball, too. Who knows?
But
he's not good at the game, so that's going to affect them negatively, the whole team.
I agree with that.
The positive thing that could happen is maybe they get Arch.
Oh. See, I think the other big negative or concern then is he's hurt again, right? Like, unfortunately, early in his career, Anthony Richardson has missed a lot of time and been tagged with the fragile label, which especially considering his game, that's not good.
Will that affect him with other teams or just this team?
I think it'll affect him with other teams because then he'll be brought in as the Zach Wilson. Like wherever he goes next, he won't be brought in as a real starting candidate. He'll be brought in as like, oh yeah, well you used to get drafted high, so we'll have you.
Yeah.
It's a reality just because that team is already in such a weird spot, not just at the quarterback position. We're already a few years into the Shane Steichen experience.
Yeah.
You know, they've already got some turnover, unfortunately, with ownership. Maybe the family of Jim Irsay has a different kind of timeline and a different gauge on their hot seat for some of the ideas that they have for this team. Maybe the window is this year for them. It's okay if it doesn't work this year. We need to start all over again. So I do think it's just bad for the short term and the long term future, but it's bad for him because, like you said, I fully agree that if he can't play the whole season, whether it's because he's not good enough or he's not healthy, he's not going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL again unless it's by force.
Now, I'm intrigued to see which direction you fellas go with this. NFL overreaction or reality, we should be paying more attention and have more concern about Micah's contract.
Overreaction. Man, you were on fire, dude. It was reality, 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 reality. And then
went
you
too far
this,
this time.
This crap up.
Maybe I'm trying to balance it out.
What's the problem here? Like, what is there that we need to think about other than we know how the Cowboys operate?
So to you, it's a foregone. I think I'm with you. It's a foregone conclusion that he maybe shows up at training camp, doesn't do anything. Maybe he doesn't show up, and then the Cowboys are like, we'll give you all the money.
He wants to be here.
Yeah.
I
agree with that.
The Cowboys want him to be here. The fans want him to be. Most of the fans want him to be here. Think about I'm bringing up internet isn't a real place in C-Block today. I want to have that conversation because I love it. But most of the fans, there's a large portion, maybe 30, 40% that are like, screw that guy. Get rid of him. But most fans love Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
And so they all want it to happen. But again, we know how Jerry and the Cowboys like to operate. There's going to be a couple weeks here, Kevin, after minicamp where there's nothing going on
right
until training camp starts. And guess what? That discussion will leak its way into conversation once a week at least. And you know ESPN will have it as a lead story.
Yeah.
And Fox Sports will have it as a lead story. And that's the thing that Jerry's cool with. Because he knows. He talked to Micah already, probably. Yeah. Look, man, we're going to get this done. Things are going to happen. It's going to happen, though. Do you feel like it's...
I think it is going to happen. I'll just tell you, Alec, before your answer, I am so jaded by the way the Cowboys do this. I had a dream, and in part of the dream, there was, I don't know, some nonsense talking head ESPN show that said that the Cowboys could have signed Dak long-term for $12 million a season. Like, I don't know why, and I don't know how we came up with that number, but that's how jaded I am by how terrible the Cowboys are at managing the salary cap that I was like, stupid Cowboys, $12 million, what a bargain! And that obviously didn't even happen.
Yeah.
It's amazing. This guy is so addicted to math, Corey, that he's having salary cap dreams during his sleep.
Yeah.
That's the kind of commitment you get on this show.
Somebody messaged that they bumped into Kevin at a Garskeet Walmart and that his math skills were faster than the register, but he kept saying dumbass under his breath. Is that true?
Is it Red Foreman?
Okay, look.
Dumbass.
I didn't say dumbass, but I will tell you this. There have been multiple occasions where I've calculated more or less, including the tax, what it should be. And if it's really out of whack, then I'm like, I have to kind of look at the clerk and I'm like, and I hate it. But then you have to decide, is it worth $4 for that random stranger to think you're a D head? And sometimes I decide it is.
Yep.
And I'm like, no, you scan that twice. I'm going to need you to take it off. And they think I'm a jerk, but they are wrong. So I don't think they should think I'm a jerk. But I also think they think I shouldn't care.
You shouldn't. That being said, if you know the person that messaged that, then you know who, you know Lasso. So he's on the Twitch.
Oh,
so if
great.
You remember his face, you know, you can be like, hey, you're Lasso at the Garskeet Walmart.
Alec, I can see how you might have lost track of the question. We've covered a lot of ground.
So
here.
The Cowboys, yeah, no, it was Micah's contract. I'm with Corey. You are on a roll, Kevin. This is overreaction, though, because this is just the game they play. It's everything we've ever talked about, and it's the game that they like to play. It's not just the game that they play. They enjoy to play. I mean, you're seeing Micah go directly to Clarence Hill and giving him stories. You know, and saying, hey, I've seen TJ Watt's request. I see what he's wanting.
Yeah.
You know, it's literally just to get people talking and to get more stories out there. And, you know, we have a void in the media now that David Moore is not writing stories to, you know, help get the Cowboys side of things out there.
Woo-hoo!
So now we've got the player side. So if anything, I'm kind of enjoying it a little bit more than I used to.
All right, I'm going to try to get back on track here. NFL overreaction or reality? The Eagles defense will take a step back, perhaps a big step back this season. So you lost Milton Williams, Brandon Graham, he retired, Josh Sweat, Darius Slay, CJ Gardner-Johnson. Like, you lost a lot of...
This podcast is powered by Men's T Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972 Go Men's Tea or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Players off of that defense. Now, I know that the Eagles have shown to be excellent at personnel and salary cap management, but overreaction reality, the Eagles defense will take a step back this season.
They are younger, and this is the quote here, younger and more homegrown than ever. And the question is, will that keep them up?
Yeah.
Or will it be the thing that destroys them? And being that young can be a very positive thing. Hell, last year, their cornerbacks were great, young.
And it's tremendous for your cap.
And you were just like, hey, how can we get any better?
Yeah.
And so I think that they're going to take a small step back early. But
okay.
I think because of the youth, they're going to have legs late in the season. And again, they have it right now. For whatever it is, they have it. They're celebrating a Super Bowl. How much hangover is going to come with that, we don't know. But I do believe that this Eagles team is very focused on that next step, doing more than just this one. And Jalen Hurts is right there at the forefront of calmness. He just seems composed and calm through all this, even though there's a lot of storm around him.
If they're more homegrown than ever, I'm actually more scared of them.
For sure.
Because it seems like they're really good at developing talent and finding good players. So if that's the case, I'm still worried about them. I still think they're going to be really good. So I don't think it changes my perception. Now, there is something to be said about veteran presence and, you know, having that leadership in the locker room. But I feel like they've already got that. I think they're going to be just fine.
Now, can I ask you my wife overreaction or reality?
Dude, are you sure you want to do this?
Yeah, it's
you
a
might
harm.
Be listening.
No, it's a harmless one.
All right.
Overreaction or reality, my wife needs to update her news sources because last night she goes, did Gary Coleman's wife kill him? And I was like, what? Hasn't he been dead for a long time? She's like, I don't know. Says she might be getting arrested. All right. So Gary Coleman died 15 years ago. And I guess his wife is now saying like she'll take a polygraph test or something, but that was a long time ago.
So she's got all this time just going, oh, he just died from age. I don't know.
What did you say?
He was short, and I don't know if there was a thing.
But like she's also the same person who
That wasn't it you, Alec.
When the Jared Fogle documentary came on, she goes, all right, but like a whole documentary just because he lost weight.
Yeah, that's really
and I was
valid.
Like, well, all the other stuff. And
yeah,
she goes,
some bad things.
What do you mean? So overreaction to reality. My wife might need to update her sources of news.
I think
news.
This is on you.
What? How is this on me?
Yeah, thank you, PJ Washington. Look, dude, you're the newsman of the house.
Okay, but this happened before I even met her.
Right? And you never had a discussion about different strokes.
Okay. I do reference that episode.
Whose last name is Drummond, which was her last name. You never have the conversation about that cast.
I have to admit.
And Dana Gold.
I don't think I've ever openly discussed Gary Coleman with her.
Why not?
I don't. It just hasn't come up.
I feel like that's first date kind of stuff right there.
Do you think, you know what? We actually did talk about murder on our first date. I don't know if I ever told you this real quick. Alec, it's up to you. I'm going to cut into about 1 minute of your time.
No, I got to know now.
All right. So on our first date, we were talking about like we had a date in a park. And I told her that I thought it was a nice place and it'd feel safe for her. It's in public. And she goes, exactly. And I was like, some people told me it was creepy. And she goes, no, it's not creepy. Like, I'll feel safe here. And I go, I mean, so you'll be a lot safer here. And she goes, yeah, you're not going to murder me in a park. It's not like we're on a train.
Park seems like a good place, actually.
Yeah, okay. But see, so she said, it's not like we're on a train. And I said, hold on. Do you think people frequently get murdered on trains? And she said, I think I'm way more likely to get murdered on a train date than I am at a park date.
Murder on the Orient Express.
That's true.
So it kind of depends on the type of train.
Years old. Okay.
But they just remade it a while back. Yeah, it was good. I feel like Park's a great place to murder.
Oh, my gosh. I thought you were going to say for a date.
Because there's lots of shrubs and bush areas around to just leave things. But I guess on trains, you can just throw the body from the train. Saw that with the mama. Throw mama from the train.
Is this tank top Corey? Is this regular Corey?
Yes.
Who knows at this point?
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, It's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, and no, it hasn't happened yet. I'm going to make you listen to the dumbest thing you've heard all week.
Are you sure it didn't happen?
It did not, I promise, because Jake Paul exists. Next on the Fan.
Blocked off at the line. Excellent stick there by Lundell. Here's Loskarinen. Loskarinen. Back out. Jump by Tkachuk. Score!
Future Dallas star Tkachuk right there as the Florida Panthers win their second straight Stanley Cup and extend the streak of non-Canadian teams winning the Stanley Cup will now trickle over into its 33rd straight year. The only way anybody could possibly be cheered up with that news is with this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the pride of Mansfield, Texas. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line. I want you to answer the question of the day there on Twitch and YouTube as well. Plus, yeah, I have the power here. I push the buttons. I'm going to make you listen to the dumbest thing you've heard all week.
Courtesy. You're sure it's dumber than what we just did?
Yeah, okay. Because of one certain line in this quote that you're going to hear from Jake Paul. I feel like if I tell you it's from Jake Paul, you know it's at least going to contend.
That's a good point.
With what you and Corey brought down there at the end of NFL Overreaction or Reality. I like the one person that texted and said, yeah, parks are kind of stabby. never thought of anything as stabby.
I did not think that through then.
That's going in my dictionary. Thank you for that. Stabby. I really like that. Mm-hmm. But we go to the National Day calendar, gentlemen. There's actually a few really good national holidays today. Today is National Want to Get Away Day.
Oh.
Today is National Splurge Day.
Ooh.
But it's also National Go Fishing Day. Not the card game, actually, Go Fishing.
See, so, if the Rangers would have won, we could ask Poach about that.
Today's National Go Fishing Day?
Yeah.
I need to text my son.
He I haven't gone fishing ever since high school, I think. I need to change that. So, that being in mind, for National Go Fishing Day, what is the most underrated hobby or activity? 877-881-1053.
I think it's putting together puzzles. So,
dude, I love putting puzzles together.
It's so much fun, and then depending on what it is, you can have a nice little decoration in your house. My wife said that she'd never heard of the idea of framing a puzzle before she met me, and Brandon and I had framed multiple like fun video game puzzles that we really, really liked. So I think it's fun, and you can turn it into a decoration.
When my roommates and I, back in the 20s, not the 1920s, oh, we're in the 2020s, aren't we?
Yeah.
Back in our 20s, we would buy a puzzle about every month, throw it all out on the table, and we wouldn't sit down and do it like right then. We would just do it over time. So we'd probably spend the first day doing the outline, you know, an hour or so doing the outline of it. And then we would just leave it. And then through parties and stuff, everybody would kind of look around, grab a piece. We'd slowly put it together.
Were you always worried that you'd get to the end and there'd be one piece missing?
Always. But it never was.
Yeah.
But I have had that happen one time to me. It's very, very concerning. But then and we would always yell in the house, jealous, because it's we found a piece. Hope everybody else is jealous about it.
Gotcha.
And so, but that was a lot of fun. And I do that now at the house. Lucy and the boys, we do the same thing. We'll throw one out there. And I think that's an absolute blast. It's a lot of fun. For me, is yard work a hobby?
Sure.
Yeah.
I think it's underrated on. I love when the pool is clean. I've gotten all the leaves out of it. Everything on the bottom's clean. The whole yard looks nice in the backyard. It's nice to go do your front yard. Trim it all down, weed eat it, edge it and everything. Yep. And then you look at it and it's satisfying.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think it's underrated. I do think there are a lot of guys out there that do love that experience.
I saw a tweet that was like, name the most underrated feeling for a man in the world. And it said like non-sexual, what is the most underrated feeling? And it said that moment when you're done mowing the yard and you put your hands on your hips.
Yes.
And you just stare at the yard like,
I can see that.
I did that.
I put some man work in today.
That man work. Mm-hmm. Another thing I'm adding to the dictionary.
Welcome.
Thank you. I really love yard work, and I'm glad you said that, because I have a weird like affinity for it, because my dad's always like, no, I'll help out, or like, I'll get somebody to do. I'm like, no, don't you dare.
It's like a punishment if you can't.
Exactly, because it's almost like on a day that I can't go to the gym, it's like I feel like I'm missing something. I feel like I cheated myself. I feel like I'm not deserving of enjoying the day anymore. It's like if a week goes by and I didn't mow the yard because of something that I could control, I'm like, what is wrong with it? What's your deal, Medford? Mm. Dang it, man. What are you doing?
Yeah.
877-881-1053, the most underrated hobbies and or activities. I did see one from the 817 that I kind of like, because I've only experienced this a handful of times. Instead of going to the bar for the women, me and my buddy would just go to People Watch because so many act a fool. And whenever I've been like the designated driver for like birthday outings or whatever, and I'm drinking nothing but water and electrolytes, it is really entertaining to watch your friends be people that you know they are not. Or just strangers be people that you know they are not. Or that moment when you do walk into the bar and you haven't had anything to drink yet, and you see that one guy that's getting escorted out of the bathroom and out of the building because he passed out. You know, it's just like, oh, what a tone setter for the night. You know, so.
When you say people being who they are not, are you talking about anytime Peyton is on air with Chris Arnold?
That's a deep cut. A real deep cut.
Bobby's got the receipts
there. Yeah, if you want to know about that next time there's a morning show remote, Firehouse tour stop, or a fan hang, just ask Bobby Belt.
I am told we do have a fan hang coming up soon. Be prepared.
Whoa!
Be prepared. We'll have more information on it soon, but for those of you who like fan hangs with us, we love being at them too, so we can't wait. And evidently, we have piled up a lot of things that y'all need to ask us at these, because we've told you, hey, that is something this show does a lot of.
Sources saying. Mm-hmm. Look at that. Sources Corey. Are we the show of sources of record too?
Dude, we're gonna be this. We're gonna be the I want all the
records.
Like
brought us.
Yeah. It's gonna be tough to beat him, but if we keep on getting station intel, I think we can make that claim. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm. Just like you have the intel about Peyton, code switching.
I'm telling you, man, there's a lot of it too.
It's amazing. I'm serious. Ask Bobby the next time you see him out in public. The most underrated activity and or hobby from the 469, just in general, cleaning my house. And I will say, there is something almost in the same way about mowing the yard. There's something satisfying to me about vacuuming the carpet, because you do see the difference where if you do like half the room, you see the streaks from the carpet. From the vacuum going up and down the carpet, you're just like, yeah, I'm doing good work.
The guy who used to host Double Dare, maybe he still does. Summers, what's his name?
I think he's dead.
Oh, no.
Oh.
I think he might have.
Well, this changed everything. He had OCD so much that he would back out of his front door vacuuming. He wanted the lines to be perfect, so he would get to his front door, pull the cord.
Oh, he's not dead. All right.
Okay. Yeah. So now we can talk about this a little more.
Oh, I might have been thinking of Family Feud.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
From the 817, and I agree with this. Very underrated. Metal detecting. Have you ever used a metal detector before?
Yep. On the beach.
I don't think I've ever done that.
My dad got one. I don't know. He found one at the property that he lives on, and he was like, "Oh, this is fun." And so he used it for a while, and then for Christmas, his wife got him one, like a good one.
Yeah.
And the first thing, everybody in the house was like, can we take that? Like, none of the presents mattered except for the metal detector. We all wanted to go out into the field and just see if we could, and we did. We found wires. We found all sorts of stuff, and it was an absolute blast thinking there might be a box full of gold under this, under this dirt right now.
Yeah.
And that feeling of excitement was there, and it just turned out to be,
this is the box full of gold.
It just turned out to be like, you know, railroad ties and stuff like that. It was nothing. Railroad spike.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972 GO Men's T or mensteclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay.
That is so disappointing whenever it ends up being like the top of a can of soda or something. You're just like, I thought I was going to find the pirate stash or something. And I just found a piece of aluminum.
But then you're like, on to the next place.
Exactly.
Let's go see what else is out there.
It just builds the intrigue, and it's amazing. I do love that. And I'm seriously, it's not just because of the national holiday. I do think that fishing, just as like a hobby, if you're not actually trying to like live off of what you're catching and not trying to like eat every day off of that, if you're just going out to fish for fun, I do think getting a couple of your friends, getting on a boat or on the edge of a dock, having a couple beers or something, just chatting, casting the line out, that is peak male activity right there.
It is nice. It really is nice.
It really is. And I seriously haven't gone fishing since like high school, and I need to change that. Because I think I lost, whenever we moved houses, I kind of lost all my equipment in the shuffle. Like, it's not lost for good. It's somewhere in the house. I just don't know where. So I need to track it
big
down.
Big house.
Not as big as yours with all those tables.
And it's not his house.
Just had to Peyton Russell dunk on
me,
huh?
Dude.
Had to paint.
We're trying to prop him up for the ladies. Ladies.
Yeah.
If you would like to meet Alec Medford.
Oh. No, but that is propping him up for the ladies. Y'all could pick your house together.
Oh, nice. Look at
that. Look at you trying to redeem yourself.
Look at the spin on that one. Nice work, dude.
And one last one from the 940. Doing math faster than the clerk is underrated. Okay. Jake Paul. The problem child, as he is called. Very fitting nickname.
Yeah.
Very fitting. But remember, he beat 58-year-old Mike Tyson via decision in his last outing in the ring. Yeah, it was awful. November of 2024. However, his first real challenge against a lifelong boxer is yet to be tested. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. might be a good test for him, who he will be fighting next. And Jake Paul was speaking to DAZN in a little media session, and I'm not even going to set it up. Just listen for the one key phrase that I think is going to catch you off guard.
To me, he's done nothing in this sport. I feel like I'm the only one doing it. Everyone else is just trying to gatekeep or say that they're doing things for the sport or something is bad for boxing, but I'm the greatest thing to happen to boxing since Muhammad Ali, and there's no even debating that. No other fighter is building gyms, getting boxing gloves into the hands of kids, throwing multiple events a year, donating my whole entire purse back into my own charity when I fought in Puerto Rico, taking women from getting paid $1,000 to $5, $6, $7 million, breaking Netflix records, shutting down the site. I've done this in only 12 fights where Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, Floyd Mayweather, Marvin Hagler, like you can name any of these people, fought nobodies for their first 15 to 20 fights. And no one even knew who they were.
All right.
I leave the floor to Kevin Hagland.
So there's a variety of arguments that can be made right there, but let's go with the, you know, the people that fought nobodies. You've seen multiple fighters that have had world title shots, let alone won them. We just saw one of them retired in their first 15 fights. Manny Pacquiao went back to be a government worker in his home country so he could rectify issues of the country. That feels like a pretty big give back.
Yeah. That whole thing, it just got worse and worse as he kept talking. But right in the meat of that, that quote where he says he's the best thing to happen to boxing since Muhammad Ali.
And that's the other thing. I'm not saying that Muhammad Ali didn't do good things for society, but I don't think that was the main focus of why people loved Muhammad Ali at the time. It was because he was a great fighter. And so Jake Paul tried to like reframe that as a thing. And also, I feel like if your just argument is strictly monetarily, Canelo Alvarez has been a huge draw for boxing.
He has.
Like, I actually...
Dang, dude.
I think the issue is the lack of like fights against real people.
Yeah.
Because that would rate... He is right about one thing.
There's a lot of attention.
And there is a lot of attention. The other thing that he said that I did think was probably fair is he has showcased real fights on the undercards of some of his events, including some big time women's title fights. And I will agree with him there. Like, there's some things in there that I don't agree with, but I do agree with his logic of I think he's brought more eyes to women's boxing. I'll concede that point, absolutely. But I think people's issue is Jake Paul is the second biggest draw in boxing. He is. You can get mad. I don't like it either, but it's a fact behind only Canelo. But all of his fights are like what you would kind of tag as like freak show fights or whatever. If he went out and fought, you know, like if he would have gone out and fought Errol Spence Jr., I think he would have got annihilated. But at least then you could be like, well, he fought a real boxer.
Yep.
And a lot of people watch. And I bet a lot more people would know who Errol Spence is. And plenty of people do, but not as many as Jake Paul.
And that's my time.
Whew. We're the KNC Matt. Man, I feel like we could have done a whole segment. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. But yeah, that's a great bit of audio. I really appreciate it right there. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Are these players guaranteed to improve this season? Next on The Fan.
Play action for Stroud. Good protection. Loads it up. Fires downfield. Excellent touch. Perfectly delivered. Touchdown. Dalton Schultz. Stroud strikes again for 37 yards.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, what say we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy? And we start with this interesting point from Lamar Jackson. And I do think this is one of the things that motivates people, players, whoever, to potentially be greater. He said that he is still haunted by the deep felt loss to the Bills. Like, you remember going into that Bills game, the divisional round game with the Ravens and the Bills last year, it was like, whoever wins this game, like quarterback wise, will have a chance to really reshape what their legacy is versus the loser, whether it's their fault or not, will just kind of have to sit with it. And I know the Mark Andrews drop and everything like that, but still, you have a multi-time MVP who still hasn't been to the Super Bowl, and you just have to sit with that.
Yeah, and hope that you can overcome it at some point.
Yeah.
Okay, so we all know what we feel about Dak, right?
Uh-huh.
Had he been two-time MVP, how different would the environment be around him fan-wise?
See, and I've heard the argument that people think it's worse for Lamar because he has won two MVPs and still hasn't even been to the Super Bowl. I guess I'm in the camp of I think way more respect would be on Dak's name if he had won those two MVPs.
It's more like, I mean, he is MVP and the other person is still, yeah.
Yeah.
And that stinks. You know, like it's a frustrating feeling because you do kind of feel helpless to it. And I bet Lamar feels he's like, what more can I do?
Yeah.
But I know he's not the kind of dude though to go throw his team under the bus.
For sure.
And go throw those guys under and coaches and everything and be like, hey, they all are costing me something. He's the one. He's a good leader. He seems to be, from what he hear in that locker room, very good leader trying to get everybody on the same page.
And I don't know if this is a weird way to tie it in, but I saw the quote that LeBron James had about...
I did too. I was wondering how to fit this into the show.
Maybe right here about Charles Barkley, Steve Nash, people like that, and how... So
ring culture.
Yeah, I didn't totally disagree with his point. I disagreed with one of the ways that he phrased it. And he's like, you can't talk about those people in the same way as somebody who has one or even two rings or even only one. And I agree that that is true, but I don't think people ignore the greatness and importance of Charles Barkley, Steve Nash, Dan Marino, whoever. But I actually think it does make a lot of sense that you don't talk about them the same way as your Brady's, Montana's,
the best players
Jordan's.
On the best teams.
Exactly. Because
yes, it was a team
for sure
success, but it also, like, in that thing, you were the best player on it,
yeah,
and you were the one driving the force behind the team.
And odds are you played the best when it mattered the most. And I think that's what people ignore about the Dak Prescott discussion at times, much like they ignored with the Tony Romo discussion at times. Neither one of those players played their best when it mattered the most, whereas Troy Aikman absolutely played his best when it mattered most.
Dirk is a great example of
that. Is a great
example. Bipolar part of it.
Yeah.
In that he wasn't great. He missed the two free throws. That was when it all fell apart for me.
Yeah.
It all unraveled after that. It spiraled, if you will, Kevin.
Stop saying we're going to spiral.
But why does everybody give him no, he wasn't just a soft Euro? Because when it mattered the most the second time, he was the best player on the planet.
Yeah.
Nobody could stop
yes.
him. He went lefty with broken fingers when Van Gundy said it was too soon.
Yeah.
And he finished and then got that championship. So, yeah, that's the difference, is playing at your best when your team needs you the most. I do wonder, though, how many championships, like Tyrese Halliburton's gold, that a LeBron or one of those greats got just cruising on the team.
Sure.
Did Michael Jordan? No. Michael Jordan was the star for every one of his teams that won a championship.
Yeah.
It is interesting, though, to listen to Michael Jordan talk about Kobe and LeBron, who's better, who's better, me, Bill Russell. I mean, like, it's go by the championships, go by this. I'll never say it because we were all uniquely good in our own way, and that's just what we were.
And that's a great way to put it, because
especially
it is
when you're the greatest.
It's even complicated. Let's just look at those three. Well, championships seem to define who's the best in football, but not in baseball or basketball. Like, you don't hear people saying that Bill Russell and Yogi Berra are the best of all time. You don't. Like, they're awesome, and they are true blue Hall of Famers. And for Bill Russell, especially, it feels like pretty consistently listed in the top 10. But you don't hear that many people say he's the best. And then you have Kobe, who has five rings. Well, he was the secondary player on three of those teams. But that doesn't always get brought up, you know, because he won five titles. Jordan won six titles. But to me, I do think it makes sense to talk about Nikola Jokic different than Charles Barkley, because Charles Barkley was a great player. But when everything was on the line and it mattered most, Jokic showed, I'm the best.
Connor McDavid.
And that is unfortunate, but if you look at the greats,
he's the best.
Mario Lemieux, Mario Lemieux kind of reminds me of Michael Jordan a little bit. He was really good, but the ring showed that he could be the best. And that's when everything changed for Mario Lemieux, and he rocketed up the charts of all-time great players. Same with Jordan. You think about Andy Reid. People thought Andy Reid was a darn fine coach. And that's about it. And then he got Patrick Mahomes, and now he's one of the greatest coaches of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because he got significantly better at coaching, or is it because he just needed that little extra bump to get him over the hill? It's the same thing with Lamar Jackson. Think about Lamar Jackson. He's like a tragic playoff figure now, right? If he wins a Super Bowl, now all of a sudden he's got a Super Bowl, is probably going to go down as the greatest running quarterback of all time and won two MVPs. You're like, holy crap, that's amazing. But that is a big hole in the resume. And I know it is not his hole alone. Same with Josh Allen and everything like that. But that's just the way that sports gets judged.
That's the way sports go, as Wash would say.
Yes. Yes, it really is. We're the KNC Masterpiece. Well,
I got 1 minute of something.
Okay.
There is a report, and this is not football related either.
Rappaport?
That the Dallas Mavericks have emerged as a possible landing spot for Colin Sexton. Per Andy Blarson of NBA writer in Utah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's this is just a report. Dallas Mavericks have emerged as a possible. That's a lot of weird wording there. But Colin Sexton, not a lot of assists, but he might be a good point guard kind of guy for the team.
Yeah, and I think you've seen it move closer in that direction, but sometimes I feel like Colin Sexton is a shooting guard masquerading point guard.
Yeah.
And so, but that is interesting. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Speaking of interesting, from the mind of Corey Majors.
Oh, no, I haven't looked.
Who's the make or break player for the Cowboys this season? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.